And joining me now is Major General Tim Cross. Tim was the most senior British officer responsible for post-war planning for the Iraq War and was involved in the reconstruction in Kosovo. He's also a lay minister at St Paul's Church in Camberley and regularly preaches around the country. Major Tim, General Tim Cross, good morning.
Morning, Simon.
Firstly, what's your reaction, if it's possible, it's such a trite question, but your reaction to this week's events?
Well, yeah, like everybody else's, it's been a bad week. And again, I don't want to be trite in my response, but of course, in one sense, there's nothing new. These killings follow on from IRA killings in the 70s and 80s, and at the end of the day, it is a murder. I mean, it's a civil offence. I think it's very important to move straight into that. The police need to investigate it. The guys need to be brought to trial and punished appropriately, and it needs to be dealt with in that light.
Yeah, indeed, Asad Jamil there said that no faith justifies such a killing. There's no place in faith. How do you respond as a man of faith and someone who'd actually served in the military for many years? Is there a balancing act there for you to reconcile those two things?
In one sense there is. Life, you know, I hate the word in a sense, but life is mostly a balance between, you know, trying to take a view and recognizing that all choices carry consequences. I mean, I want to say straight away that, you know, for example, I commanded the brigade in Kosovo. You referred to Kosovo, mm-hmm. but part of that deployment was building and running refugee camps for Muslim Kosovar Albanians and, you know, looking after them. And we had tens of thousands of people we were looking after, and I chatted with and prayed with many of them who'd been separated from families and been treated pretty badly, obviously, in Kosovo. And eventually we were able to get them home. And the, you know, the 1990-91 operation, which I was involved in too, was all about helping Kuwait free itself from an invasion by a Muslim country. But obviously Kuwait is a Muslim country. So, I mean, the British military is about, and its strapline, its government strapline, it's like, is to be a force for good in the world, to try and act in a way that ensures that people who are being subjugated, people who are suffering from ethnic cleansing and so forth, are helped. My faith, I became a Christian when I was 30. I mean, I was raised, obviously, in one sense, in a Christian country, in a Christian home, but from a personal point of view, when I was 30. And it has, of course, made me reflect on the nature of warfare and so forth. But I think the principal point I'd make is that as you travel around the world in the military, words like sin and evil are not just sort of interesting theological discussions. Mm-hmm. When you watch people slaughtering each other, when you see the ethnic cleansing, I watched the mass graves being dug up in Iraq and so forth, you realize we live in a really difficult world. And the language we use tries to capture that, and spiritual language tries to capture that. And secondly, there's no such, you know, it's always wrong to say that all Serbs are bad, or all Croats are bad, or all Muslims, or Russians, or French, or English, or whatever. You know, those blanket assertions are nonsense. And everything that the previous speaker was talking about is absolutely right. You know, there is good and bad in all of us individually. The British Army is a flawed organization. Why? Because it's made up of people like me, and I'm flawed. And that's the reality of it. And the struggle, the balance, is trying to make sure that in the whole process of living our lives, we get the balance right, and we come out on the side of good and justice and righteousness and so on.
Absolutely. I mean, Jesus made it very clear, didn't he, that religion in a way was for imperfect people. It wasn't for perfect people.
Absolutely. All have sinned and fallen short. And however one phrases that and understands it. And the great thing about Jesus is he's got this absolutely clear intent for his life, which is to go to Jerusalem, and he knows what's going to happen, and the whole principle of the Christian faith, if you like, the cross and so forth, and the reconciliation that brings. But on that journey, and that's a pretty intense message and a pretty intense intent for your life, if you like, but on that journey he is just filled with compassion with people that he meets, everybody he meets and deals with, apart from the hypocrites and you know, people like the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the teachers of the law and so forth, who he gives a pretty hard time to. But even then, he's loving them through the process. So, you know, we cannot just sort of sweepingly be judgmental about a group of people and point a finger at them. We have to recognize that all of us walk this life alongside each other. And what the Christian message is, the heart of the Christian message, is a message of love and compassion. And we get that wrong, of course we do, but, you know, we do our best to live that through.
But going back to your experiences as an army officer, you were talking about the mass graves, and you were talking about the dreadful conditions in the Balkan Wars, and then this dreadful act that we've seen across multimedia this week. Does that rock your faith?
No.
No?
No, not at all, actually. I mean, I know some people are surprised when I say that, but no, it doesn't, because the heart of the Christian message and the heart of most religious messages is that however you see the stories and read your stories and of Genesis and so forth, it's about a fallen world, a world of injustice. It's a world of separation, and it's a world where we continually get things wrong. Now, you know, those are extreme, and what they have to be dealt with. But you know, individually, again, you know, we get this wrong. We're people who make mistakes in relationship terms, and you know, adultery and failed marriages and failed ability to love one another and so on. So they're a reflection of that. They're on the same spectrum. Now, of course, they're extreme end of the spectrum, and they need to be seen in a very serious light and dealt with through the law, through the justice system, and so forth. But again, the idea of justice and righteousness is a religious, if you like, a spiritual message.
And of course,
and ultimately, one day we will stand before the throne of grace, and we will all be judged.
And of course, even in those evil scenes we saw this week, there was good being done, wasn't there?
Of course, there was. You know, the response of British soldiers to what was going on in Kosovo or Iraq or the Balkans in the round, or indeed in Northern Ireland back in the 70s, when I was a bomb disposal operator in the 70s, the British soldiers respond to that, you know, brilliantly. And it brings out, in some respects, the irony is it brings out the best in people. And we saw that reflected last week too. So yeah, it does.
Just finally, prayers have been said at mosques and churches and synagogues across the country this week. Many people will be going to their church services this morning. And perhaps, I posit, perhaps they won't know what to pray.
Mm.
What would you say?
Well, I can say a lot, but I think people, you know, there's no mystery to prayer. Mystery is a communication. It's a way of just, you know, expressing our thoughts. And recognizing that they're going out to something we don't fully understand, but we're just trying to lay on the table our innermost thoughts and get them out there. So we would want to pray for the family. We'd want to pray for the soul of the soldier, and ask the Lord to judge him wisely and with righteousness and so on. And we'd want peace and reconciliation around this whole incident, and that's not going to be easy, because there will be people who don't want to bring peace out of this. They will want to make judgments, sweeping judgments, and point fingers and so forth. And find who to blame, whether that's, you know, MI5 or whomever. So we need to just pour out our heart and our sort of gut instinct to say we don't like this, it's wrong, we're upset, we don't know how to deal with it. We recognize that it's part of being in a fallen world and the idea of sin and so forth. And we just ask the Lord to move in people's hearts, to allow them to see the evil that's going on, and to make it to be determined, individually be determined, that we don't want to be a part of this. We want to try to do what we can to bring peace and reconciliation. And in that process, we want to recognize that we need to love the Lord more, and we need to recognize we need to love our neighbor more. And those are the two great commandments that Jesus teaches. And again, we don't live them out particularly well, but that's our aspiration.
Major General Tim Cross, thank you very much indeed for those words this morning. Thanks for coming on the program.
Not at all. You're very welcome.